been talking this month on the subject of thankfulness, of course, because the month of November is the month of Thanksgiving, and so it's the time that we think the most about being thankful. And as I mentioned probably about a month ago when we first started talking on this, that, you know, really we should be thankful all the time, you know, at all times during the year, but it seems like, of course, November, we reserve our thankfulness for the month of November, and it shouldn't be that way, but a lot of times that's the way that it is, that we tend to reserve that for the month of November. And so, just like Christmas, you know, Christmas, we think of gift-giving in the birth of Jesus and stuff, but in reality, we should think about Christmas all the time, about the fact that we have a Savior that came to this world, that can know and feel our infirmities. At Easter time, we think about a resurrected Lord. And so, these are always things that should always be upon our hearts and our minds, okay? But anyway, so we've been looking at the subject of thanksgiving and thankfulness. The first Sunday, we looked at the fact that we should thank God for who He is, not so much for what He has done. If you remember, it is important for us to thank God for His great character, for the character that He is. Then we talked about thanking God with our whole heart, wholeheartedly. Not just part of our heart, but our motivation as to why we thank God. Give praise with a grateful heart, that sort of an idea. And then last week, we had just some various lessons on Thanksgiving from the Bible. And so today, what we want to take a look at is some examples of being thankful, examples of thankfulness in the Bible. Some people, some characters from the Bible that gave thanks to God for whatever reason. And we can learn from these. And I try not to have too many points in my Sunday morning messages, 3 points, 5 points at the most. Every once in a while I have 7. And so I try not to have too many, and I've got 8 today. And so I'm going to try and really, you know, lay off on the introduction, you know, and just try and get right into this and spend more time with each point and stuff. And I kept looking through it and praying about it, and I couldn't scratch any of them off. They were all some good ones. And so some things that people, real people that we know, were thankful for. People like Daniel, people like our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, people like the Apostle Paul, that gave thanks to God for a specific reason, for a specific thing that he had done. Our first one here in Daniel chapter 2 is for a very familiar story. I think most of us, if we've been in church any length of time, we know the stories of Daniel. We know how that the king had a dream, and when he woke up, he couldn't remember the dream. And so he asked all of his soothsayers, all of his astrologers, all of his smart people to tell him what his dream was and the interpretation. And they all said the same thing. Well, if you tell us what the dream is, we'll tell you the interpretation. And he says, no, you're trying to trick me. He says, you need to tell me what the dream is and the interpretation, because he couldn't remember the dream. And so then the king was mad, and he was going to have them all put to death, and that would have included Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And when Daniel got word, he says, no, you go tell the king, I'll tell him. You know, and so Daniel went to the Lord and prayed and asked God to give him the wisdom that he needed. And sure enough, God did. God told him what the dream was and what it meant, and Daniel went in and told the king, and so because of it, he was lifted up and elevated within the kingdom. And we come down to Daniel chapter 2 and in verse 23. This is where Daniel gives thanks for what God had done in his life. And I want us to see this, okay? And so, again, we're not going to take the time to read all of the story. I just want to read verse 23 there. But Daniel writes these words. This is as he's praying, and he's praying to God, and he says, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desire of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. And so there we see Daniel, an example of Daniel giving thanks to God. And what does he thank him for? He thanks him for that wisdom that he needs. You know, I've got to be honest with you. When I pray for myself, you know, I probably pray for wisdom more than anything else, than things that I pray for, actual physical things. As a father, I need wisdom to be able to know how to raise my children right. As a pastor, I need wisdom to be able to lead and guide this church in the direction that God would have me to lead it. You remember when Solomon was made king, that's what he prayed, that's what his request was. He wanted wisdom to be able to rule the kingdom, and so God gave him more wisdom than any other man to walk the face of this earth. And so wisdom is one of those things that maybe we don't think to pray for. But it's something that we should pray for, and when it comes, we need to be able to give thanks to God for the wisdom that we do have. I believe it is that James, he tells us that if any of us lack wisdom, that we should come to God, and he'll give us that wisdom that we need. You know, we all have needs in our life. We truly do. And a lot of times, if we just knew what to do or knew what to say. So many times I've had people, Christians, that have come to me and said, I just don't know what to say to so-and-so. I don't know how to help them. I don't know. That's when we need to pray. And I guarantee you that if we come to God with a genuine heart to pray and ask Him for the wisdom that we need, God can give us that wisdom. Listen, if God can tell Daniel what someone else's dream was, you know how it is. You know, you have a dream, you wake up and it's gone, okay? It's kind of how we are. This morning I had a dream and I actually remembered it. And in it, something silly happened. You know how it is? And I was actually physically, literally mad at my wife this morning because of something she did in my dream. And then I woke up and I'm like, how stupid is that? You know, it's like, but anyway, you know, it's funny how we do that. But most of the times we wake up and we're like, that was a really good dream. Well, what was it? I don't know, I can't remember. I just remember it was a really good dream and stuff. And so, you know, we forget them very easily. But Daniel went to God and said, God, I need to know what this dream was. And so if God can show Daniel what that dream was and then show him the interpretation of that dream, certainly God can give us the wisdom that we need to be a good spouse, to be a good parent, to be a good worker, to be a good person in our community, to be a good person in our church, whatever. God can give us that wisdom that we need. But we see from the life of Daniel here that Daniel got that wisdom, but he gave thanks to God for the wisdom that he needed. He was thanking God for answering that prayer. And that was huge. Because of that event in the life of Daniel, Daniel then became elevated in the kingdom, in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, and in the kingdom of the Syrians there. He became elevated and almost like second in command because of what God had done. And God could grant us that favor in this life that we live as well, if we would just be mindful. And I wonder if perhaps Daniel wasn't so thankful, if Daniel wasn't so appreciative, that maybe God wouldn't have answered that prayer. And so, you know, I don't know that. I'm just speculating. Many times I think maybe our prayers don't get answered because we're not appreciative of what God has done in our life. But not only did Daniel thank him for the wisdom, because that was the most important thing, but he thanked him also, verse 23, he said there, for might. And if you remember, when Daniel first came into the kingdom, he was appointed a portion of the king's meat. And Daniel says, you know what, we're not going to eat the king's meat. It's defiled. It's against our Jewish laws. We don't want to eat it. Give us vegetable soup to eat, the pulse, the vegetable soup. And so they ate the vegetable soup, the pulse. And it says after 10 days, their countenance was better. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their countenance was better than anyone else in the kingdom. And so there's one for the vegetarians that are out there, you know. And so they ate that diet of vegetables, and they fared better. And so Daniel's thanking him for the strength, the might that he had to be able to stand up. He wasn't afraid to stand up and, you know, here this decree came that you're going to die because nobody could tell the king, whoa, hang on a second. He had the strength, the might that he needed to stand up and say, you know what, God can take care of this thing. And sometimes we need that strength as well where we live and where we work to stand up. But he thanked God for the wisdom that he had in his life. My friends, today we need to be thankful to God for the wisdom that we have. You know, every time I sit down and I read my Bible and I pray and I look through this thing and such, I am thankful for the wisdom that God gives to me, that I'm able to read this book and understand it. You know, I realize I'm 49 years old, but I remember when I was just a little kid, just a little guy, I remember reading my Bible. I remember as a young fella reading the Bible and stuff, and it didn't make a whole lot of sense back then. You know, it's like, what is this? You know, you don't really get it and stuff. There's not a whole lot of understanding there. But after I got saved and came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior, then and now, as I read the Bible, it all makes a whole lot more sense. It begins to become clear to me. And as I sit down and as I read God's Word and as I compare Scripture with Scripture and God shows me these things, it's something that I'm very thankful for, is the wisdom that He gives us to understand His Scripture, to understand the words of God and the wisdom that we need from the Word of God, but also the wisdom that we need to live this life in a way that is pleasing to God and is helpful to our fellow man as well. So that's our first example. That's what we want to take a look at today, is some instances where people give thanks to God for what He has done for them. Okay? Now the rest of them are going to be in the New Testament. You can follow along if you want. I'm just going to look at one verse in each one of them. You can follow along or just listen or whatever, however you do. But the next one is in Luke chapter 10. And so if you want to look with me in Luke chapter 10, we're going to read a story here from the life of Jesus. And in Luke chapter 10, Jesus is praying to God. You know, it's interesting, we see this recorded in the Word of God in a few places where Jesus gets alone and prays to God. And, you know, for me as a Christian, as I see that, here's Jesus, who's the very Son of God. You know, He's God. He just laid down His deity for a while to be man, to be like us. And yet Jesus finds it important to pray to God. And so Jesus thinks it's important to pray to God. Boy, how much more important it is for me to spend time in praying to God, okay? But Jesus has a little prayer here in Luke chapter 10 and verse 21. It says, "In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight." And so Jesus gave thanks to God for revelation, for the revelation of his mystery, of his plan. You and I, as we sit here in church today, we understand that God has revealed some things to us. You understand the plan of salvation, amen? You understand that Jesus came to this earth to be born of the Virgin Mary, which we're getting ready to celebrate after Thanksgiving, but we're going to talk about Jesus and his virgin birth and him coming into this world. Jesus' sole purpose of coming to this world was what? To die on the cross of Calvary, to pay the price for our sins, to pave the way, to make the way for us to be able to get to heaven, to go to heaven, to be with God and to be a part of his kingdom. That is a mystery that has been revealed to us. Jesus in that same passage says that there are many apostles and prophets and such that have desired to look into these things and have not known them. But God, you have revealed them. And so Jesus is thanking God for the revelation that he has. And sometimes we need to remember to thank God for the revelation that he has given to us. That I know that I'm saved, that I know that I'm going to heaven, that I understand the plan, that I know what Christmas really means, that I know what Easter really means, okay? That God has revealed this to me. Because, you know, we take it for granted. You know, when Christmas comes and Easter comes, we kind of take it for granted that we understand the true meaning of these things. There are a lot of people in the world that have no clue. They have no idea whatsoever what all of these things mean. And as we try to relate to them the truth of the Word of God, they're just like, huh? It's like trying to explain advanced math, you know, trigonometry or calculus or something. You know, they're just like, huh? I don't get it. You know, it doesn't make any sense. And so God has revealed that to us. And Jesus thanks God for revealing that mystery to as he says there again, he says, not the wise and the prudent, but he's revealed it unto babes, simple people, honest people. Little children. And so we need to be thankful to God and give thanks to God for the revelation that we have. You know, and that comes along with our salvation, but not just that. I mean, everything that God has showed to us from the Word of God. You know, as you sit down and as you read your Bible, you know, still no days of praise, sorry. Hopefully they'll come before the month of December. You just never know with them. But anyway, as we do our daily devotions, if we read the days of praise or the daily bread or whatever, if you do something else, a lot of people do electronic on their phones or whatever, but as we read our Bible on a daily basis, we need to thank God for that revelation that he gives to us. As we read the Word, as we read the Scriptures, and God speaks to our heart, that's a gift from God. Whenever we read and whenever he shows us those things. And hopefully we look at it that way. And so that's what Jesus is thanking them. As Jesus looks out over the multitude, of course, he's thinking of the religious crowd, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders of the day that are totally clueless. Even though they're the ones that are supposed to be the doctors of the law and are supposed to understand the Word, they don't get it. They don't see it. They don't understand it. But then here were these simple folk that were right before Jesus, and God revealed his plan to them, and Jesus was very thankful that he had taken the time, that God had taken the time to reveal that plan so that people, simple folk, can hear and understand the Word of God. Little children can understand that they need to be saved. People in third world countries can understand that they need to be saved. It's an amazing thing, that revelation of God. And so we need to be thankful for that revelation that we have through the power of the Holy Spirit that reveals his plan to us. Another time in John chapter 11, when Jesus is praying, Jesus thanks God for prayers that are heard. For prayers that are heard. In John chapter 11, verse 41. You know, many times when we pray to God and we're looking for God and we want answers from God. Matter of fact, in our bulletin, I think I put a quote there in our bulletin. I always try to put a quote in there. Blaise Pascal. He was a genius. That's who he was. He actually invented the first calculator. That's who Blaise Pascal was. He was a mathematical genius. He invented the first calculator before electronics. He made a box, a machine that would actually calculate and tabulate. But later in his life, he dedicated himself to religious studies. He wanted to know God in a way that people hadn't known God. And this is one of the things that Blaise Pascal, a noted genius, said. He says, instead of complaining that God had hidden himself, you will give him thanks for having revealed so much of himself. Okay? And many times we complain that God doesn't hear us. That God doesn't show us the things that we need or the things that we want or something like that.
But here we see that Jesus thanks God that he does hear prayer. John chapter 11, verse 41, it says, "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes." And of course, this is when he raised Lazarus from the dead. "And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me." And so here we see that Jesus is thanking God for hearing his prayer. And we have that promise from God today that when we pray, when you go before the throne of God, when you enter into that throne room, into the Holy of Holies, and enter into his presence, and you offer up your prayers before God, you have the promise from God, and you have the word from our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that God hears our prayer. One of the blessed things right there, to know that God hears our prayers, okay? You know, little children come to their parents all the time, mom, dad, you know, and a lot of times what our kids say, what happens, it goes in one ear and out the other. We're not really paying attention because we're just too busy doing whatever, you know? I'm just as guilty as the next guy, you know? A lot of times my wife will say, remember what I told you? And I'm like, no, not really, don't remember that, sorry. You know, and so a lot of times, you know, we don't really hear. But I'm thankful that we have a God in heaven that even though there are countless billions of people lifting up their prayers before him, he is never too busy to hear my prayer. That when I come before his throne and I say, God, he's there. I got his full undivided attention. You say, how does he do that? How does he give 1,000 people his undivided attention? I don't know. He's God. But I have the promise from the word of God that says he hears my prayer. And so here we see our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he's about ready to perform a great miracle and raise Lazarus from the dead. Before he does that, he takes the time to say, God, I thank you that you hear me, that you hear my prayer. So we need to give thanks. We see another lesson, another example, if you will, of thankfulness of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thankful that God hears our prayers. Many times, you and I, be honest, we get upset that we think, well, God, why don't you answer my prayers? Are you even listening? Are you even paying attention? And that's kind of the attitude we have sometimes when problems happen, when life kind of throws its worst at us and stuff like that. We get frustrated. We get angry with God instead of being thankful. Instead, we get, you know, belligerent, if you will. You know, I encourage you to come on back to church tonight. We're going to talk about the idea of endurance. The idea of endurance. It's easy to thank God when life is going good. Amen. You know, when your health is good and you have enough money to pay the bills. Does anybody have that? But anyway, you know, it's easy to thank God when life is decent or whatever. But when problems arise, that's when we really need to thank God for what he has done in our life. And so you come on back tonight. We're going to look there in Romans in Hebrews chapter 12 and see about endurance, enduring the contradictions that this life throws at us. But Jesus took the time to thank God for prayers that were heard and answered, okay? I know I haven't said that, but prayers that are heard and answered. God answers our prayers, okay? That may not be the way we want it answered. It may not be when we want it answered, but God answers our prayer in accordance to his will. What is his high priestly? What did his prayer say? His example prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God hears and answers our prayer. The next one is found in Romans chapter 1, verse 8. If you want to turn there, we're going to the next five, actually, the last five are all from the life of Paul. Paul used to be one of those doctors of the law, a Pharisee himself, who didn't truly get it, who truly didn't understand. But then eventually God did reveal his mystery to Paul on the Damascus Road, and Paul got saved. And after Paul received Christ as his Savior, actually he used to be Saul, and after he got saved, God changed his name to Paul, and then he became the great apostle Paul, who brought the gospel to the Gentile people, to people like you and I. And we need to be thankful for the apostle Paul that he did that, that God used him to bring us that gospel. But certainly the life of Paul was a life of gratitude. Paul was very thankful for the things that God had done in his life and through his life. He was very appreciative of all that God had done. So we're going to look at five examples of Paul giving thanks to God. The first one in Romans chapter 8, Paul says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And so here we see that Paul is thanking God for the testimony of the church, for that testimony of the church. We need to thank God for our testimony. You know, I don't really have to worry so much about my testimony. I don't have to worry about, and understand what I'm saying, okay? I don't have to worry about what people think about me or what people say about me or whatever, okay? Because I can't control that. All I can control is that I live for the Lord. And if I live for the Lord Jesus Christ, if I do what God wants me to do, if I live my life right and according to His Word, not according to some church code or creed or conduct or anything like that, but if I live my life in accordance to the Word of God, and if I live my life in accordance to the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, then I don't have to worry about my witness. I don't have to worry about my testimony. God will take care of that thing for me. God will make sure that my testimony and my witness is what it needs to be. But we see Paul thanking God for the testimony of the church, for the testimony of God's people in that world today. In Paul's day and in Paul's time, Christianity, truly, they rocked the boat. They upset things in that day. You know, there's a lot of people didn't appreciate Christianity and what is it doing, you know. And you know what? The same thing holds true today. You know, they try to put Christianity down. They try to stamp out Christianity. But every time people try, it just never happens. You see Christians all over the place standing up for what's right, doing what's right. There's a fella, I seen it. It was actually the first time I seen the story. It was on K-Love, the Christian radio station. If you listen to that, I don't know. I listen to it on the computer sometimes. And they had a story about a football player. One of these guys making millions of dollars. Who is at the peak of his career. You know, he's at the peak of his career. His next contract could have brought him more money than he'd ever know what to do with. And he retired from football to become a farmer. And why did he do that? He never farmed a day in his life. Why did he do this? Because he took the first fruits. Everything that came off of his crops go to feed those who need food. The homeless, the people that have no food. And I saw this on K-Love and that was a cool story. Well, now I'm seeing it's cropping up on the national news as well. It was on Yahoo and MSN and it's just everywhere. People can't believe that this guy who made all this money, who never did any farm before in his life, is now out there farming and giving away all his food to people who need food. It's a pretty cool story. I like that. And so, you know, this world, there's a lot of people that really ticks them off when they see stories like that, you know. You know, think of the Duck Dynasty guys, what you will, but there's a lot of people get ticked off because they're in their face Christianity and stuff like that. And so there's a lot of people that are out there in the world that are, they're Christians, they're faithful to God, and they're not afraid to stand up for God. That witness, that testimony of God, it's out there. It's everywhere. I know the minority are trying to hush us and stuff, but it doesn't work. It doesn't. And so that's what Paul was thankful that even in his day, when there was much persecution, when Christians were being put to death for their faith, the testimony of God, the witness of God's people was out there and it was growing like a fire. And Paul gave thanks to God for that testimony. We need to do the same thing. Give thanks to God for the testimony of ourselves, of our church, of Christianity in general, as God's word continues to go forward and people get saved. The next one is in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. Paul gives thanks to God for the grace of God. This is what he says, 1 Corinthians 1, 4. He says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ. Well, what is grace? I think we know. We sing about it, amazing grace. But what is grace? Simply put, and the best way I know to understand grace is it is God's unmerited favor. God favors us. You ever have kids, Mom, who's your favorite? You know, your kids say that. Who's your favorite? And, oh, I love you all the same. Okay? That's what we tell them, you know. Unless they're all by themselves, then it's, oh yeah, you're my favorite. You know you are. Stuff like that. So, but anyway, that's what favor is, okay? We understand favor. But God's grace is an unmerited favor. We don't deserve it. We don't earn it. We're sinners, worthy and deserving of hell. But because of God's grace, He favors us. And thankfully, He favors us all the same. Okay? We're all His favorites. Every one of us. Doesn't matter who we are, how rich, how poor, how, you know, this, how that, whatever. It doesn't matter. You know, God favors each and every one of us. That's one of the things that Paul thanks God for, is that unmerited favor. Again, sometimes we feel entitled. Sometimes we feel like we deserve all the blessings of God. What Paul is saying, no, I thank you for that grace. I thank you for that unmerited favor that you have bestowed upon me. I don't deserve this. Paul says, I'm the chief of sinners. Paul says, I deserve to die and go to hell. That's what Paul's testimony was. But he realized that because of God's grace, he was going to get to go to heaven one day to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's thankful for that grace of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And verse 14, Paul writes these words. He says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the Savior of His knowledge by us in every place. But he thanks God for victory. He causes us to triumph. God gives us victory. We like to sing that song, Faith is the Victory. It's one of the Christians' favorite songs. We sing it a lot of times when I ask for a favorite hymn. That one always comes up. People want to sing that. Faith is the victory. There's truth in that. And Paul is giving thanks to God for the victory that we have. What victories have you had? I'm sure we've all had victories. And many times we fail to thank God for those victories that we've had in our life. When maybe we overcame a problem in our life or overcame an attitude that we have in our life. I'll just share one with you. I've shared before, but truly it was a victory in my life. Growing up, of course, you know that I come from a broken home. My parents were divorced and I got remarried and stuff. And growing up, I didn't get along with my stepmother so well and such. And after I left home, I still didn't get along so well. But eventually God brought conviction into my heart, my life. And there came a time at my grandfather's funeral that finally me and my stepmother, we actually embraced and let all the old past things go. And just kind of, there wasn't really a whole lot of words spoken, but we just kind of looked at each other and just knew at that moment in time that there was a lot of release of pent up frustration and hatred and anger and stuff like that. And I remember walking away from that and just, that is a huge weight off of my shoulders, okay? And that victory that God gave me on that day, I'll never forget that. You know, it's a huge day in my life, a big day in my life, you know? I'm not saying me and my stepmother are close, you know? I don't know as if we've really even spoken since then, okay? We were never close then. We probably never will be very close, okay? But there was a tremendous victory that God gave me on that day, you know? That seems to be one of the problems that I have in my life is holding on to things, you know, and past grudges and things that people say and do and stuff like that. And believe me, I'm very thankful when God gives me the victory over those feelings, those hurt feelings that I have. I'm thankful that when God gives me the victory in anything in my life. But that's what Paul is thanking God for, which causes us to triumph in Christ. When we are in Christ, when we are living our life according to Him, the way that Jesus would have our life, He'll give us that victory. Many times when I pray, someone asks me to pray for a matter in their life, a physical matter or family, something going on. I always try to remember that when I close in prayer, to thank God in advance for answering our prayers, for the victory that He's going to give us. Having faith to believe that He'll give us that victory, that He'll help us to overcome no matter what that circumstance or that situation may be. You know, He may not heal us of our disease. He may not make us, you know, to be better or whatever, but certainly we will have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. God will give us that victory. And we need to thank God for that victory. You know, I know I use this illustration a lot. You know, I think of people like Johnny Erickson Tata, who's a quadriplegic. She wanted to be healed. God didn't heal her, but He gave her victory. He helped her to overcome the fact that she was a quadriplegic and has used her in a big way. I'm sure there's days that she gets up and she's like, I'm really tired of being a quadriplegic. You know, I'm sure there's days that are like that. But she continues to go on through the victory that she has in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's days that I wake up and my bones hurt so bad. And I'm like, boy, I wish my bones didn't hurt so bad. But I get up anyway. And I continue to go on and do what God would have me to do to live the life that He wants me to live. I thank God for that victory that He has, that He has given to me. Because I see so many people that have physical ails and physical woes and all these problems in their life. And they walk through life like Eeyore. Oh, woe is me. Another terrible day. I've lost my tail and stuff like that, you know. And I see it. I know people are like that. So I thank God that He gives me the victory. There's days I feel like that, but He gives me that victory over those things so that I can continue to smile and have the peace and the grace of God in my heart and my life so that I can be a blessing to others in disguise. I've shared this with you before, but I know many times, like when I meet a preacher or another preacher or I know I'm going to meet him or whatever, so a lot of times I might want to share with them a problem that I'm having in my life. I'm thinking, oh, here's another preacher. I can go unburden myself on this guy. And so I'll get to talk, and it turns out they got worse problems than I got, you know? And I find out, I end up counseling them and helping them, and I end up walking away. It's like, boy, I'm glad I'm not them. I'll take my problems, okay? And so, you know, that's that victory that God gives to us. I still got my problems, but He still gives me that victory, okay? And so Paul is thankful for the victory that He has given to us. All right, just two more. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let me ask this question before we read this as you're looking for that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3. Are you the same person today that you were like last year? or 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, or 20 years ago, or whatever? Are you the same person that you were before you got saved, before you came to know Jesus Christ as your Savior? We're not. We've changed. We have grown. We have grown in our faith. We have grown in our wisdom. We have grown in our knowledge, in our strength. We have grown. And that's what Paul thanks God for. 2 Thessalonians 1:3 says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all towards each other aboundeth." But he thanks God that their faith groweth exceedingly. Okay? And I know today that I stand here, I know I'm not perfect. I know I still got a long way to go. As the Apostle Paul says, "I press towards the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I press towards that mark. Paul says, you know, I'm still growing. I'm still maturing. I'm still learning. And we should. We should always have that feeling, that attitude. But certainly, even as we press towards that mark, we need to realize that we have come a long way. We have grown in our faith. And I thank God for that, for the growth that I have in my faith. I thank God as a pastor that I see growth in other people's lives. As I see the people that sit under the sound of my voice, as I see people in church, as I see them grow, as they get the victories, as they feel the grace of God in their life, and they overcome some things in their life, and they become stronger in their faith. You know, and there have been people that have come through this church that have gone elsewhere, and they continue to grow. And I'm thankful for that as well, just to see that growth in the life of people, to see where their faith was to where it is today. You know, it's a discouragement when people fall away, when they fall by the wayside and they get away from God. And we can dwell on those things, okay? But you know, mostly we just need to pray about that and ask God to do a big thing in people's life. But I'd like to look at the things that God has done and to see how the Christians have grown in their faith and how they've grown in their walk with the Lord. And people that used to just come to church, start teaching Sunday school classes or helping out and lending their time and their efforts within the body of Christ. That's such a blessing to see that. And certainly the Apostle Paul was thankful for the growth in the lives of believers. Are you thankful for the growth that you'll have in your own life as well? Are you thankful for how you have changed, how God has molded you and shaped you and made you into the person that you are today? You need to be thankful for that growth that we have in our life, okay? Sometimes that growth can be painful. What do we call that? Growing pains. You know, you've heard that phrase before. And sometimes it can be painful because we have to learn through mistakes and falls and hardships and stuff like that. But when we grow through it, God makes us to be a better person, a stronger Christian, a stronger child of God. And then lastly, and certainly not the least, maybe even the most important, but the Apostle Paul thanks God for his salvation that he has. Honest, be honest with yourself. When was the last time you thanked God that you're saved? When was the last time you said, "Thank God for saving my soul, that I'm not on my way to hell, that I'm a child of God"? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." God chose me to be saved. God chose me for my salvation. And certainly you've heard me say before how I can look back over my life and see the things that God did, the people that God brought into my life to bring me to that place when I first received Christ as my Savior on August 18th of 1983, Thursday afternoon. Brother Dwayne Richardson standing there in his doorway telling me about Jesus, and I prayed and I got saved on that day. God did a lot to get me to that place. And it is something that I have never gotten over, my salvation of my soul. God changed me on that day. I can't express enough what God has done in my life to make me to be the person that I am today, to make me the pastor that I am today, the father, the husband that I am today. Am I perfect? No, not by any stretch of the imagination. But I'm so thankful for the salvation that God has given to me in my life. We see the Apostle Paul many times within Scripture refers back to his own salvation experience. I've heard many a great preacher, a humble man, that have stood in a pulpit and just shared their own salvation experience. It's something we should never, ever, ever, ever get over in our life. And even now as I'm preaching, I would encourage you in your own minds right now, I encourage you to daydream. I encourage you to go back to that time when you accepted Christ as your Savior. And think about that time. Maybe you were a little kid in Sunday school and a Sunday school teacher told you about the Lord Jesus Christ. Or maybe you were sitting in a church, maybe even this church, when you prayed and asked Christ to be your Savior and Lord. We should never get over our salvation. It is the most important thing in our life. You know, it's funny how we celebrate our birthday up until about, what, 39, and then we quit, right? Okay. It's funny how we celebrate our physical birthday, and we have a cake, and we woo, and everything for the day that we were physically born. Maybe as a Christian, it would be a little bit more important for us to celebrate our spiritual birthday, the day that we became a part of the family of God. That is a day, I think, that is a little bit better, if you will, okay? But just eight, and like I said, there could have been a whole lot more. It was hard just to whittle it down to just these eight. But there are so many examples in the Bible of people giving thanks to God for the things that God has done. You know, by and large, we're probably a thankful people, okay? I hear people say thank you all the time, and that's a good thing. But here's some things to remind us. Here's some examples of real people that really gave thanks to God. Where Daniel gave thanks to God for wisdom. Jesus gave thanks to God for revelation and prayers that are heard. And Paul gave thanks to God for our Christian testimony, for our grace, for the grace that God has bestowed upon us in our life, for the victory that He gives us, the growth that He gives us, and certainly for the salvation that He has brought into our life. Again, eight things. Are we going to remember them as we go out the door? Maybe some, maybe not. I don't know. But what I want us to go out of here remembering is that we need to be a thankful people. Not just in November, not just on Thanksgiving Day, but on every day of our lives, thankful for what God has done. You know, those settlers that first came to this country, to the Americas, and they had that first Thanksgiving dinner, okay, and I guarantee it wasn't a turkey that they had on Thanksgiving Day. I don't mean to burst anyone's bubble. Most likely it was venison. For all you deer haters out there, they probably had venison. That would have been readily available on that day. So, but anyway, just saying. So, but anyway, those first settlers and that first Thanksgiving that they had, they were thankful to just be alive. To just have survived the journey across the ocean, to settle in, to try and find a home, to brave the elements and the Indians that were already here. They were certainly just thankful to be alive. And many of those did not survive. They saw many people that they knew and loved died on the journey, died after they got there. They were so very thankful that they were just alive. Okay? Sometimes we get upset because we don't have the biggest, the best, or whatever. God is looking for a people who will humbly come to Him and thank Him for what we do have instead of complaining about what we don't have.